Live from Africa and to the rest of the world, this is CII Radio. Independent, authentic, and dedicated to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another edition of Bumper to Bumper. Tonight I am driving all by myself. So Brother Jamil is down in the Tugela, as we mentioned last week, and we wish him a safe and pleasurable trip, inshallah, and that he comes home safely, inshallah, and that it's a success. But tonight on the show, we're talking all about, do you really know your car? So during the week, I attended, Brother Jamil actually invited me to join him on the Alfa Romeo Rosso driving experience. Now, this is an invite-only experience. So people that are prospective buyers of the Alfa Romeo or currently have Alfa Romeos were invited to this experience at the Swartkops Raceway. So basically, we went there and it was skid pan and track day. But I think Brother Jamil would want to also chat about it. So maybe we'll go into it a bit more detail next week. But one of the things that stood out for me was we learned about the ABS in the car. So for many who don't know what ABS stands for, it is the anti-lock braking system. Okay, and for laymen, we say it's allowed to brake and steer. So in the olden days, we used to, when we wanted to brake and we needed to brake hard, we would pump the brakes. So we slowly put our foot on the brake and then we release. And we put our foot on the brake and we release so that we come to a complete stop. But with technology over the years, we now have what is called ABS or anti-lock braking system, which automatically pumps the brakes for us. So we just have to put our foot flat down on the brake and it does the work for us. So one of the things that we had to do at the Alfa Romeo skid pan was to test the ABS. And I was quite shocked because all the time I thought that I was using ABS, and a lot of people would think that they are using ABS, but they're not actually. Most people will think, and we can hear from the listeners if they want to send in messages, how they think ABS actually works. But the ABS, when you normally think that because you're touching the brakes and you think that, you know, it's stopping quickly, that that is the ABS. But it's actually when you put your foot flat down on the brake, you basically press so hard that the car comes to a complete stop. And in most of the new vehicles, you'll know that it comes to a complete stop because the hazard lights actually come on at the same time. So that actually warns the car behind you that you have now come to complete stop. But what is fantastic about the ABS is that it not only allows you to slow down or come to a complete stop, it allows you to steer as well. So if you're going forward and you're trying to trying to miss an obstacle, you can actually press your foot down on the brake, get the ABS active, and then also steer away from the obstacle. So that's why we're talking all about, do you really know your car? So that's one of the things, ABS, do people know how to use it? I can remember, it's probably about 15 years ago, and I had ABS on my car. And I was traveling down Gululis, and it was raining, and there was a car that came speeding past. And this car actually spun around. So I had to, react quite quickly, and I pressed the brakes really hard, and it started to grind. Now, when it starts to grind, you automatically think you've done something wrong. But that was actually me engaging the ABS. And the car came to complete stop. Alhamdulillah, I was okay. The driver in the other car was okay. There was no collision. And that's what we think. Lots of people will test the ABS out, or not knowing that they're testing the ABS out. The car grinds, comes to a complete stop, and you're like, no, I need to take this car back because there's something wrong with the brakes. So that's one of the things. The other thing is tires. You know, tires is a very important thing on the car. I mean, if you don't have the right tires on the car, you can't basically move. So One of the things we did a few years ago was we actually went out to Bridgestone. And we learned a little bit about the different tires, the different tread, how you need to know when to change your tires, when you should actually rotate them, wheel alignment, all that type of thing. Everything is on our website, iloveZA.com, so you can have a look at it. But I'm going to go through a little bit about it. So whenever you buy a car, you have to obviously check, you know, the size of the tire. You must check that, you know, it fits with the actual profile of the car. So most OEMs would obviously give you your 14-inch, your 15-inch, 16, 17, whatever. It's gone up to now, I think, 21-inch. When we were much younger, we would only get, I think it was up to 18-inch. But now, because the cars are getting bigger, it comes standard some cars with 21-inch rims. So the tires are also fitted for those type of rims. So you would look and you would know that, okay, I need to know what size tires I'm going to need on my car. And why it is very important is because of the pricing of the tires. So as you obviously go up higher in terms of the profile of your rim, which, like I said, can start anything from, well, you can get 13-inch rims right up until 21-inch rims. Sometimes you can even get 23-inch rims, but that's a bit excessive. But normal cars that you get from the manufacturer normally go up to about 21-inch. And you need to know what size you need to get, because it's going to play an effect in the type of costing that's going to come into play when you need to replace your tires. So many years ago, you could like get away with, you know, if you look at a 14-inch rim, maybe the tires were almost the same price as your 15-inch or even your 17-inch. But for some other strange reason, the 16-inch was a little bit more expensive. Nowadays, there's a little bit different pricing, so it all depends. But you always need to know what size it is. So the way to tell the size of your tire is you look on the outside of the tire and you will see there are numbers like 235/40/R17, for example. That's not the right size, but it's just an example. So you'll know the R17 would be the size of your rim, and then the 235 would be the radial size of the tire, and the 40 would be the size from the rim, the actual profile of the tire, if I'm not mistaken. So those things, like I said, you need to know, because when you're changing tires, you need to obviously phone around, or you go into a shop such as Tiger Wheel and Tire or Super Quick or whoever sells Auto Style, wherever you're getting your tires from, and you need to tell them exactly the size of the tire so they can order the correct size, unless you're obviously taking in the car and they can see the size of the tire. So one of the things you need to know is you need to rotate your tires. So in order to get longevity of the tires, you need to make sure that you move the tires from the front to the back and vice versa. The experts will know once you take it in and you tell them you need to rotate, because there's some tires that are directional, meaning that they can't be on the other side of the wheel because they will just start making a noise. It will be a bumpy ride. It doesn't work. So more sport tires are directional, so they need to be placed in the same direction. So that also needs to take into account. But every about 10,000 is good for you to take in. So if you're going for a service for 15,000, try and do it then. But if you can, at 10,000, have your tires rotated. Because whether you have a front-wheel drive or a rear-wheel drive, you're still going to, use the whatever it is. If it's front-wheel drive, you're going to be using the front tires more than you would be the rear tires. So you need to make sure that you rotate those tires. So go in every 10,000. Most of the places will do it for free. You can get stuff checked as well. Your tire pressure. Tire pressure is very, very important. So you would, in your book or sometimes in your fuel cap, there would be or sometimes even in the door, it will say what the tire pressure needs to be. Most modern cars have a tire pressure monitor now as well, so it can tell you that your tire pressure is low and that you need to get it checked. But every time you go to the service station, just tell them to check your pressure, because sometimes you leave your car for a few days and you get what we call flat spotting. So flat spotting is just the tire would just let out a bit of air. You might not even notice it, but it's going to cause problems for you, not only when you're driving, but it's going to cause a problem with your wheel alignment as well, which we'll get into next. So go in and just check on your in your manual, in your fuel cap gauge, or in the door, and just check if it's 2 bars. If it's a load, then you obviously need to change it as well. And just make sure that you constantly get your tire pressure done, because that also helps with longevity. So rotation and tire pressure are two things that are going to help you with longevity. But it doesn't mean that if you have the tires, you're going to have them forever, because they have a an expiry. So after 5 years, generally the rubber on the tire starts to harden and it could cause problems. So every 5 years, you need to essentially change your tires. So that is something that, that needs to be done. And you can find the date or the manufactured date on your tire as well. So there's quite a few things, numbers on your tire. Like I said, for visuals, iLoveZA.com has it. I think there's even a video on YouTube as well that we go through everything. But if you go into one of your tire places, they will also be able to assist you visually to know which numbers are which. But there is a date stamp that will tell you the date as well, well, the month as well as the year that it, the tire was manufactured. So it will say like 10/23. So you know that it was October 23. And then you just work out 5 years from that date that you need to change the tire. So after the break, we're going to obviously talk a little bit more about how well do you know your car.
CII, see the whole picture.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. If you missed the first part, today Brother Jamil is out in the Drakensberg and I am driving solo. So we're talking all about the how well do you know your car. So we were talking about checking your tires, and the next topic is wheel alignment. So what is wheel alignment? So have you ever noticed when you're driving your car and you let go, which you shouldn't really on the road, you shouldn't let go of the steering wheel, but if you do let go of the steering wheel, you feel the car moves to one side. Or even while you're driving, you feel like the steering wheel is just pulling you to one side, and it shouldn't really. Well, sometimes it is the lane assist in these newer cars, but most of the time it is your alignment. So the alignment keeps the car straight. That's plain and simple. And so you need to always make sure that you have it checked, because if you don't have it checked, it's going to basically eat your tires. We're going to say it eats your tires. So what it does is it eats the tread or thread of the tire, and it damages the tire. And like I spoke earlier, I said that we need to rotate the tires all the time. We need to check that we have the right tire pressure. But we also need to make sure that our wheels are aligned, because anything can happen. Your alignment can go off just by coming out and knocking a little bit of a pothole. So you're driving down the road and you think that you didn't even hit the car hard, but you just went over a little bit of a bump and the wheel alignment is off, and then it just causes a lot of problems, and unnecessary costs are involved when you have to replace tires, which you know, shouldn't really need to be replaced. So wheel alignment is also very important. So again, once you go into your tire dealerships, you can speak to them. They will more than happy to do your wheel alignment and your balancing. So the balancing as well. So basically the balancing is, again, it needs the car needs to be balanced. So the wheels need to be balanced. And sometimes they'll put on a little bit of extra weight because there is not enough balance, because maybe you scrape the rim or whatever it is. So those things need to be done. So your wheel alignment, your balancing, your tire pressure, as well as your rotation of tires, that is the tires in a nutshell, looking after your tires. The next thing that we're going to talk about is the battery. So most of us just get into the car, we start the car, and we carry on going. We never check if the battery is okay. We never check that, we need to replace the battery or anything until we actually need to replace the battery. But there are systems in place now that before you go on a holiday, you can go into a center, a fitment center, and they can actually check how healthy your battery is. So there's places like Battery Center, for example. You can go into them. They have a little system where they hook it up to your battery and they check. So we were fortunate enough that we had the OEM, which is the original equipment manufacturer's battery. So from the time we bought our car, I think it was 8 or 9 years ago, and we never replaced the battery. Alhamdulillah, it worked fine until one day I started to start the car and I could feel that it was taking a little bit longer to start the car. So that's one of the signs that your battery is dying or it's not healthy. And we decided to go into Battery Center and they did a check and the battery was actually sitting at 20%. So we had 20% life left on the battery, and that is actually quite critical because we could be driving somewhere and the battery could basically die and we would need to replace the battery. Now, one of the things we spoke about a few weeks ago was what you keep in the car. And I said, and Brother Jamil, well, Brother Jamil, I think, didn't have it, but I said, we need to keep jumper cables. So the jumper cables is not only, or booster cables, whatever you want to call them, is not only for ourselves, but also for somebody else that might need it. A few weeks ago, we were in a shopping mall and somebody's battery died and they couldn't start their car. I don't know if they left their lights on or whatever the case was, but alhamdulillah, we had our jumper cables in the car and we helped to boost their car and then they were on their way. But always keep it in the car because, like I said, I didn't even know that our battery was 20%, and most people don't know unless they're regularly checking. And you should regularly check. You should go into a fitness center. Most of the time it's free. They do a check, and if you need a new battery, then obviously they'll quote you on it and then you'll get a new battery. But the check, the actual check is free. And so go in. If you're going for a long trip, or even if you have the time, you know, like schedule every month or few months just to check on those type of things like your battery. And that's going to obviously help you to keep your car in running order. So this brings me to the point of tips on buying a car. So we have now, I've spoken about the battery, I've spoken about the tires, and those are things that obviously need to be considered when you're buying a car. So most of us, when we're buying a car, we're looking to keep it for a long time. Some of us are fortunate enough to change our car every 2 or 3 years, depending on the company we work for or depending on our finances. But most of us need to keep the car for at least 5 to 10 years or even longer if we can. So we have to look at the costs involved and what type of maintenance or service plan there is. So that is something that is very key when looking at by purchasing a car, whether it's brand new or if it's secondhand. Some used cars do come still with a warranty or a maintenance plan or a service plan, depending on how old it is. So it could be still from the original plan. You also get plans that you can bolt on or add on as an additional extra, so that even if your car does need a service, it's basically covered by these plans. So there's lots of those things that you need to consider. But looking at the initial plan that's in place, so if they say it's 5 year, 100,000 for your service plan, so what that basically means is that for the first 5 years that you have the car, so assuming you buy the car brand new, for the first 5 years or 100,000 kilometers, depending on which comes first, you would basically be covered for a service. So give you an example, if you buy a Toyota, for example, and you go to Toyota and you have a five-year 100,000 service plan. So if you take it to, which you should, to the Toyota dealership to have it serviced, Toyota or the plan that you have purchased would basically cover that service. So if you, for the first 5 years, just every year for those 5 years, you take it in for a service, then for 5 years, you know that you don't have to pay for a service. And services are costly. I mean, you could be paying R1,000, over R1,000, depending on the car that you purchase. It could be R3,000, even R5,000 for a service, depending on if it's a premium car, a vehicle, or whatever it is. So it could be quite a costly thing for you if you do not have a service plan. Then if you're looking at the 100,000 kilometers, so there's a lot of people that travel a lot because of work, and they could be doing about 30,000 kilometers a year on their vehicle. So if you're doing 30,000 kilometers per year and you're doing a service every 15,000 kilometers, then you could essentially have finished your service plan in the first, say, just over 3 years, because you are doing 30,000 kilometers in the first year, 60,000 in the second year, 90,000 in the third year. So by the fourth year, you would have already finished your 100,000. So that means that your service plan would now be over, and you would need to obviously look at getting an additional service plan. Also, warranties, something to look out for. They would say that a warranty, for example, is 2 years on all parts, excluding your brakes or whatever it is, or wear and tear on your tires. So you need to look at these things. Some of them, the unlimited kilometers, or the manufacturer will cover your engine for 1,000,000 kilometers or whatever it is. But be very mindful when you're looking at purchasing a car, that you make sure that you look at your service plan, your warranty, roadside assistance. So a lot of the manufacturers now give you roadside assistance. So before, we had to rely on the Automobile Association, the AA, or we had to rely on, if you do use insurance, you had to rely on the insurance, making sure that they assisted you with roadside assistance. But now the vehicle manufacturers have added roadside assistance into their plans as well, which is quite good, because if you get stuck on the road, then Volvo or BMW, even some of the other brands, will come out and they will actually pick up your vehicle, so you don't have to worry about hiring a tow truck or anything, and they will assist you. And in most cases, they give you a courtesy car as well. I'm not saying in all cases, because there are some vehicle manufacturers that say, you know, that we'll help you up until the time that we pick up the car and we'll assist you in sorting out the problem. But in terms of a courtesy car, it depends on the dealer that you take it to as well, if they have courtesy cars available. But that is something that you can talk to them about, negotiate with, if you do need wheels. But roadside assistance is something else that needs to be looked at. So in most cases, when they do advertise, whether you find it in print media or you find it in digital media, even like on our website, we do mention, you know, what the service plan is, what the warranty is, does it include roadside assistance? So all those things are mentioned, and you should be mindful of those things. So after the break, we will still be talking about tips for buying your car.
CII, see the whole picture.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. So tonight we are talking all about how well do you know your car, and tips about buying a car. So we were talking earlier about your maintenance costs on the car. And one of the things is that we always talk about the cars that we review. Brother Jamil and I talk about last week we had this Proton or we had a Beijing or whatever it is. And that is good in terms of your research. So you must make sure that you always research the vehicle before you purchase the vehicle. So Google it, you know, see what consumers are saying about the car after they've driven it, because Brother Jamil and I just have it for about 7 days mostly. So we don't know what happens after that 7 days. And most consumers will give feedback. They'll say, you know, this car is really good, I really like it. Or they'll just say, you know, stay away from this car. So always make sure that you do your research in terms of the cars that you're looking at. And look at reviews. Like I said, we do the reviews. So that is a part of the process. But also speak to people that own the car. Not only at the dealership, because at the dealership, they just want to obviously sell you the vehicle. So do a lot of research. That's always going to help you to choose the right vehicle. But one of the things that I must stress is to test drive the vehicle. Test drive, and test drive. I'm going to say it three times because I think that that is one of the most important things that you need to know when you are looking at purchasing any vehicle, whether it's a brand new vehicle or it's a used vehicle. Make sure that you take the car out for a test drive and you are comfortable with the car, because you don't want to. It's a very, very big purchase. Besides your home, the car is actually the biggest purchase that you're going to make. And you need to, especially with the prices of cars these days, and you need to be 100% sure that you are comfortable with driving that car, you are comfortable with the tech in the car, you are comfortable with the features, the safety, the performance, whatever it is you're looking in the car, you need to be comfortable with. So take it for a test drive. If you're worried that a certain dealership is going to look at you funny because you keep on going there and test driving the car, go to another dealership and look at lots of other dealerships to get, you know, familiarized. And obviously, the more dealerships you go to and you test drive the car, the more roads you're going to, because you might be familiar with the dealership that's down the road from you, and you're familiar with driving, you know, just around your block or just around the block of the dealership. But you're not only going to be confined to that space. So go to another dealership, see the roads around that dealership, and test drive the car. So test driving the car is, I think, the most important thing after, obviously, your research. And when you're going into the dealership, make sure that you budget wisely. So they say that you need to budget between 25% to 30% on your installment if you're looking at installments. And then obviously if you have cash, then, I mean, you can just go in and you can purchase the vehicle. But if you're looking to finance the vehicle, you have to look at between 25 to 30% of your monthly salary to cover the installment. And, you know, we don't like to talk about interest because, I mean, we shouldn't really, but it's the consumer world that we live in at the moment. And sometimes you can't afford to just, you know, fork out 200 or 500,000 rand cash to buy a vehicle, and you have to, unfortunately, finance the vehicle. There are Sharia financing available through Absa Islamic Banking, FNB. There is, you know, various ways that you can finance your vehicle Islamically, but you have to be wary of the interest or the profit that's involved as well. So you have to look at, if you, for example, purchasing a car that's 300,000 rand, you might end up paying 400,000 rand for the car because when, like, so just to give an example, with an Islamic bank, the way the Sharia financing works is that they would actually purchase the car on your behalf. So they would purchase the car, say the car costs 300,000 rand, like I said, and they would sell you the car at for 400,000 rand. So that would be the profit. So there's no real interest involved. So you need to be mindful of that in terms of how much you're going to be paying every month. So budget wisely in terms of that. Then we spoke about the maintenance of the car. And then most importantly is fuel consumption. So lots of people look at the car, they say it looks nice, it drives nice and whatever, but nobody actually looks at the fuel consumption. I actually spoke to somebody the other day who is in the motoring industry. And before they got into the motoring industry, they didn't know anything about fuel consumption. They said, everybody used to say, oh, my car gets 5 liters per 100. And they were like, okay, that sounds good. But they didn't really know what it meant. So with the price of fuel now, we're looking at over 25 Rand a liter, which is quite expensive. So if you are looking to spend 100 Rand on fuel, which is like very bare minimum, you're getting just under 4 liters on your tank, which is not going to cover much. To fill up most cars now, you're looking at well over 1,000 Rand to fill it up, because you're looking anything between a 40-liter tank to sometimes 60 or even 80-liter tank to fill up your vehicle. So fuel consumption or fuel efficiency is something that definitely need to be looked at. So while you're doing your research, you look at the fuel consumption, and they would obviously say claimed 6.7 liters per 100. Then ask people, are they actually getting that? Because there's a lot of vehicles that we have test driven and they have claimed fantastic claims like 7 liters or 6 liters per 100 kilometers, but we've actually haven't been able to get it down to 10 liters per 100, which is quite disturbing. Then there are other vehicles which claim 6 liters per 100 and we've managed to get it down to like 4.5 or even 5 liters per 100. So it's always good to again do your research, but ask those things, because you're going to be filling up your car all the time. Most people spend in excess of 3 to 4,000 Rand a month just on fuel because of their traveling. And you have to budget for that. So if you're paying a monthly installment of 4,000 Rand plus you're paying 4,000 Rand on your fuel, you're actually paying 8,000 Rand just on your vehicle. And you have to factor that into the 25 to 30% of your salary, because, I mean, your installment is now going to be the same price as what you're paying on fuel. So again, fuel consumption, very important. The other thing is, if you are looking at insurance, I know, again, Islamically, Allah will protect us and he will protect our vehicle and whatever, but we also have to be mindful of the state that we are living in. In South Africa, stuff like hijackings, stuff like stolen cars or whatever, these things happen. So we do look at getting insurance. There are Islamic insurances available as well. I know Takaful, which was bought by Absa, I'm not sure if they're still around, but they were an Islamic insurance. So they would be able to assist in getting us Sharia-compliant insurance for our vehicle. But again, high-risk cars, the higher the insurance. So a few years ago, I was looking at purchasing a vehicle. It was actually many years ago. It was almost 20 years ago. I was looking at purchasing a City Golf. And the City Golf at the time, with my installment and my insurance, was actually more than what I would pay if I had got a Polo, which was obviously a better spec'd car, with the insurance and the installment that I was paying it. So I ended up getting the Polo instead. So those things is, you could actually get a better car or some car that has more luxury features if you look at your fuel consumption as well as the insurance and all the maintenance costs that go into account. So it's like when you buy a home, you always look at, is it going to be easy for me to get to work? Is it easy for me for the kids to go to school? Is it a good location? Will I be able to sell it? Is the property value going to go up? All those things. So the car is just as big as a purchase. So you need to look at those things as well. So will I be able to sell this car? Is it popular? Will it be so popular that it becomes high risk? So those are things that you need to look at when purchasing a car. But lastly, when purchasing a car, is trust your gut. So with everything said, when you sit in your car and you're sitting behind that steering wheel, no matter what the badge is, if you are comfortable, don't worry that people say, oh, why are you driving this car or that car or this brand? You know, if you are happy and you are comfortable with that car, then get it. Because you know yourself and you know exactly what you want. And most of us, when we get out of the car and the car is parked in the parking lot, we turn around and we actually look at the vehicle. So if you look at the vehicle, you know that you have purchased the right car. So if there are any listeners that want to add to that, so like I said, there's research, there's obviously looking at your fuel consumption, your maintenance costs, test driving your car is very important, and looking at the resale value. So just to touch again on the resale value, so the way the resale value works is obviously to do with popularity of the car. So if the car was not popular when the car was sold, in most cases when you want to resell the car, it's not going to be that popular, unless in the used car market, it is a popular used car for whatever reason. So sometimes we can take a premium vehicle and the vehicle could be R1 million when we purchase the vehicle, but when you want to resell the car depreciates. So we know the old saying that once you leave the showroom floor, the car already depreciates. But sometimes it can depreciate so much that you would actually think, why didn't I buy a used vehicle instead of a new vehicle? And like I'm saying, it could be R1 million vehicle, and by the time you want to resell the car, you're only getting R500,000 for the car. I know that's a bit extreme, but there are cases where that happens. But then that actually makes it more affordable in the used car market. So it actually becomes a popular car in the used car market because the dealers actually then put the price up to 600 or even 700,000 and then they resell the car. And because the car was originally R1 million, it becomes more lucrative and more viable for people to buy it as a used car. So it might be, again, worthwhile looking at buying a used car versus buying a new car. So then you also have what is called a demo vehicle. So most of the vehicles that we test drive become demo vehicles because your demo vehicle, you're looking at about, say, it's normally like within the few thousands, like 2,000, 3,000. Sometimes you can even get a demo vehicle that only has like 1,000 kilometers on the clock. But sometimes you can get a demo vehicle that's done about 15,000, which is most of the vehicles that we use that they defleet from the media test fleet and they sell them into the dealership. So a demo vehicle is a new vehicle. So it's only like being used by to test drive or at the dealership or by the media to test drive the vehicle. But it's not new. It's still, you know, sometimes it still has some of the plastic on it because we don't take the plastic off in the vehicles. But it's not used in a sense that there hasn't been someone that has taken ownership, has taken it and driven the car around all the time. So you have your new vehicles, your demo vehicles, and your used vehicles. So always look at those things when you're considering buying a vehicle. After the break, we'll be chatting more about how well do you know your car.
CII, see the whole picture.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. Today we are talking all about how well do you know your car as well as tips on buying a vehicle. So I was talking earlier about test driving cars, resale value and that type of thing. But one of the things we didn't talk about was if you're looking at tech. So there's a lot of new tech in vehicles, and there's anything from your Bluetooth to USB ports to your touch screens, all these type of things. And you have to be comfortable with the new tech that's in the car. because you're going to be using the car every day. So a lot of the vehicles now come with what is called Android Auto or Apple CarPlay. So it's a simple interface that works through an app from your phone. So if you have an Android phone, then obviously you use Android Auto. And if you have an Apple phone, then you use Apple CarPlay. And basically the interface helps you navigate your phone through the screen. So your apps like your navigation, for example, if you're using your apps like WhatsApp or whatever it is, you can choose what apps you want to use on the screen. And you get different size screens as well in the cars. You get 8-inch screens, you get 10-inch screens, whatever it is. These are your infotainment screens. And that's one of the things that you need to be comfortable with. There are some manufacturers that don't have Android Auto or Apple CarPlay. They have what is called Carbit Link or QD Link. And these are screen mirroring apps. So basically, you plug your phone in via USB and you screen mirror. Now, the drawback of those apps is that for an Android user, it's easy to still use the functionality of your phone on the screen. But for Apple users, they don't allow that functionality. So you still, you don't have that accessibility that an Android user does. So that is something that you also need to look at. A lot of the manufacturers that do offer the screen mirroring interfaces like QD Link and Carbit Link, they are looking to obviously put in Android Auto or Apple CarPlay when the cars come to South Africa, but it's a costly thing. So just be mindful of those things when you are looking at purchasing a vehicle. The other thing to look at in terms of your tech or features is obviously the ports. With us in the vehicle, we need as many ports as possible. Most cars have your USB ports, so that's your USB-A ports, and now most phones have USB-C ports. So that becomes a little bit complicated. So also look, does the car that you want to purchase have the ports available that you need to charge your devices? Because there's no point in getting a car that has a USB-A port and you actually need a USB-C port to charge your phone. Because then it's going to be another costly thing for you to go out and look for an adapter or look for what's these things called, a little car charger. So some cars you can have those little car chargers that go into the 12-volt port. So those are things you need to look at as well. Obviously, the more ports you have, the easier it is for you to charge your devices, especially if you have other people in the car or your kids that want to charge their devices as well. A lot of the new cars have wireless charging. So that's an additional extra. Well, some of them come standard, but I mean it's additional as in you have your ports and then you have your wireless charging as well. So the wireless charging, you basically put the phone into the bed that it sits in and it charges. Most of the wireless charging is a bit slower than your traditional charging through a port, but it's convenient if you need to keep your car, your phone or your device charged at all times. So those are some of the tech things. There's other things like your safety features. So there's a lot of new safety features like your lane assist. So a lane assist basically tells you to keep you in the lane. So this is what we call autonomous driving. So we have different stages of autonomous driving, and one of them is level 2 autonomous driving, which helps you to keep the car in check. So you basically put this feature on if the car comes with it, obviously. You press a button or it comes on automatically and you can change the settings. But it will keep you in check so that if your car starts to sway, it will just gently move the steering wheel or some sort of warning comes up to say that you're moving out of the lane that you need to be in when you're driving on the road. There's also blind spot monitoring. So whether there's a light on your side mirrors or there's a warning on your instrument cluster, it helps you with your blind spot monitoring. So if you want to turn into a specific lane, or you want to try and overtake on the highway or whatever it is, but you want to go into the next lane and there's an oncoming car, the blind spot monitoring will actually indicate like a warning, so that it helps you not to move on. So these are more modern vehicles, but a lot of the vehicles have this tech in it at the moment. Another thing is the cameras. So a lot of the cars now have, whether they have front cameras, reverse cameras, some of them have 360 cameras. So that also assists you to see what's happening around you. With the reverse camera, most, if not, okay, we won't say all, but a lot of the cars come with the reverse camera or some sort of what we call park distance control, PDC. So you get little PDC, little buttons that are placed on your rear bumper, and that will help you when you're reversing to say, you know, give you a warning, it will beep so that you know that you are going too close to whatever obstacle it is. And obviously with the reverse camera, you can see as well. So those, that is something else to look out for, is does the car have some sort of, cameras or whatever it is for you to see around the vehicle. Some of the vehicles have what we call in the Land Rovers and Jaguars, we have what they call clear sight or clear view mirrors. So your rear view mirror actually is a camera. So the camera is mounted where you have your shark fin or your antenna. And instead of having your normal rear view mirror, this becomes a camera and you can actually see the road much clearer. So if you have passengers at the back who are tall, or you have luggage and you can't really see through the back window from your rear view mirror, this actually is an additional feature that assists you with that. So all these things should play a part when you're purchasing a car. Additional tech is obviously, does the car have Bluetooth, which most cars do have, and it's very important to have Bluetooth and to use the Bluetooth. I mean, it's one thing having the Bluetooth, but we need to make sure that as soon as you get into the car, or you get into a car and you're driving it, that you connect to the Bluetooth of the car. The reason why it's so important is that it helps you to not be distracted. So if you have your a car on Bluetooth, if you have to answer the call, you don't have to look for your phone, you don't have to put the a call on speaker, you don't have to put the phone next to your ear while you're driving, you don't get distracted. And you can answer a call with ease, because if the car has Bluetooth, then you have a multifunction steering wheel where you can answer the calls as well. So talking about a multifunction steering wheel, again, with autonomous driving, we're looking at cruise control. So cruise control is basically you set the car on a limit. So if you're driving on the highway and the limit is 120 kilometers, you can set it at 100 kilometers or 120 kilometers, and you never go over the speed limit. So that's your cruise control. And you can basically take your foot off the accelerator, and you can just let the car drive, and it will drive at that speed. But now we have something that's called adaptive cruise control, which is part of your autonomous driving level 2. And with the adaptive cruise control, what happens is, if you are driving the car and you set the limit to, say, 100 kilometers, now you let go of your accelerator and you don't have to even touch your brake. So in normal your normal cruise control, you have to brake if there is a car coming. So it will set the limit of 100 kilometers, but once an obstacle comes, you would press the brake and you actually disengage your cruise control. But now with adaptive cruise control, you set it at 100 kilometers, and once a car comes in front of you, or any obstacle, the car will slow down to a complete stop if it has to, without you touching the brakes, and it will always be engaged. So obviously once you touch the brakes, you disengage your adaptive cruise control as you would your normal cruise control. But what it does is, if a car comes in front of you and that car is, say, traveling 80 kilometers, your speed will automatically be reduced without you touching anything. You don't touch your brakes or anything. And once that car moves out the way, the car will start increasing speed back to 100 kilometers without you again touching the accelerator. So that's the way the adaptive cruise control, which is very nice if you're traveling on the highway and you know you just want your legs to get a bit of a break. But you should really get out of the car and stretch your legs. A lot of cars as well have warnings for brakes. So there's safety feature warnings, like it will come up and say, you know, you've been traveling for too long, or after every hour or 2 hours, there might be something that will have a little coffee sign to say, you know, you need a break. So you need to get out of the car, stretch your legs, come back. There's other warnings that will tell you that the car in front of you has left. So if you, for some other reason, a little bit distracted, it will say that the following car or the lead car has left. So if you're in a convoy as well, that also helps, because then you can see that the car, you know, you might get distracted. Someone's talking to you in the back. You turn around for 2 seconds and you miss that that the car in front of you is leaving. So those are some of the features that these new cars have. Another thing with autonomous driving is the park assist. So there are cars now that you can basically get to park itself. So it has a function where you press the button and the car would go into the parking all by itself. So again, tech is very important, because a lot of people use their cars as a secondary workspace. They're in their cars all the time, they're traveling, and a lot of the tech you need to make sure that you have, because you're using it every day. And the more tech you have that actually makes your life easier, the better it is for you. So it almost becomes like an investment when you're looking at a car, especially if you're using it as a professional vehicle, you know, like for your work. So those are the things that you need to look at when you're buying a car. But I think that's all for this week. We wish Brother Jamil all the best on his trip. We will try and chat to him. Okay, well, next week he'll be on the show. So he'll tell us all about his trip, and we'll talk about, obviously, the Alfa Romeo experience that we had. But I wish everybody a good and safe week. Buckle up and remember the Ummah in your du'as. Remember us in your du'as. Remember everybody in your du'as, especially the people that are suffering down in Gaza and all over the world, in fact, and grant everybody shifa who is going through any difficulties. May Allah make it easy for everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
CII. See the whole picture.